know, the housing situation in the United States is really messed up. Monday morning, the housing market index came out, which is sort of the new home builders and their sentiment, and they're in bad shape. In fact, the number was even lower than we thought it was going to be. In my neighborhood, they're tearing down, or close to my neighborhood, they're tearing down seven-figure homes to build new seven-figure homes, and the affordability index just is plummeting. But Austin seems to have one answer. That is some of these sort of printed homes. Eric Bramlett is the owner of Bramlett Partners, which is a real estate brokerage in Austin, and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I've watched with great interest an icon in particular, Jason Ballard, who used to have operations up here, is building these 3D printed homes down there. Is that going to be an answer to affordable housing?
It might not be the answer, but it is innovation that could lead to the answer, and it can definitely help. You know, affordable housing will only be solved with additional inventory. And as you mentioned, right now, the more expensive properties are being built in urban fill areas because it's economical. There needs to be a way to put homes up more quickly, more economically, which would then add more inventory and put downward pressure on pricing.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever seen these, but they're just remarkable. It is a robot that just sort of goes around and methodically pours what appears to be mortar, and then ultimately the walls are up and the infrastructure, and you've got that, you know, a house. But I don't know if you can build those in all neighborhoods. Are there zoning laws that prohibit something like that?
No, there won't be any zoning issues with this type of construction. It's generally just economics behind it. You know, these homes, they're not yet great for larger homes. They do a great job with, you know, ADUs, with smaller units, and that's why you see this. That's why you see this in Mueller.
Remind me an ADU.
Accessory dwelling unit. They're big in Austin, so sort of like an 1,100 square foot house behind a house. You know, you put mom and dad there, or maybe a kid who's out of the house but hasn't yet, you know, launched into their life, things like that.
Well, you've got a universe of buyers out there, although presumably not as large as it used to be. We've seen, you know, some price compression here. I know I've seen some figures that home prices have dropped as much as 15% in Austin from very high levels. But you've got to get to the affordability level. Aren't you losing people to rental units?
Well, yeah, I mean, you are. You know, at the end of the day, though, it's because it's a supply problem. It doesn't really matter if you're losing them to rental units or if it's prices going up on sale prices. To speak to what you said a second ago, that yeah, there has been some pricing compression from the peak of, call it, the pandemic exuberance, right? So we did see prices rocket up. We saw them come down. We saw them rocket up, call it 40 to 50%, and then come down between 15 and 20%. Net has still gone up pretty considerably. The job market in Austin has been depressed because of the tech industry, and that's not a forever solution to affordability. You know, if the solution to affordability is demand goes down because there aren't any jobs, then we have other problems to solve. We need more inventory, right? More inventory means better affordability on purchase. It means better affordability on rent. It just means more people can live in the same, you know, the same area, which is just what we need. And we feel like these 3D printed homes, it's innovation and it looks really, really promising. You know, stick built construction it's 180-year-old technology and it hasn't changed much in 180 years. So I welcome innovation. I welcome some new ideas.
Well, stick-built construction has made one major change over the last few years. It's gotten a lot more expensive, and the components and you know, the layering on of tariffs and that sort of thing really doesn't help matters at all. So tell me about these 3D printed homes. Has there been any change from the beginning where they all just sort of looked exactly the same?
They're getting better, right? When they started, they were expensive. You could only build really small homes with them, generally lower ceilings. And since then, the technology's improved. You know, it's much less expensive now than it was, call it 10 years ago. They're better looking. You know, people don't look at them as though they're prefab construction anymore. It's come a long way. And if you look at how much stick-built construction has changed in 180 years versus how much 3D printed homes have changed in 10 years. That innovation is really exciting.
So tell me about the price point for these. I know the really tiny ones. I mean, you're talking a couple of $100,000, but that's, what, 650 square feet. You have to go outside to change your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, so the affordable homes are, they're one bedroom, 650 square foot bungalows, and they're in the Mueller Affordable Homes Program. They're priced at $195,000. They're aimed at income qualified buyers. So that's right. Similar to the affordable home programs that are traditional that use stick built. There are market rate homes, and those are one to three bedroom layouts, and they're between 650 and 2400 square feet. So a 2400 square foot home, three bedroom home, I think we would both agree is, hey, that's kind of a regular house. Yeah, and those are going to be ranged anywhere from $300,000 all the way up to about $1.3
million. Well, and of course, some of that is I mean, a lot of it is the land underneath it. And correct. That's one of the things that's really accelerated. So you bring down, you know, the cost of construction, but you can't do anything about, you know, the value of the land underneath it, I guess.
No, you can't. And that's where, you know, it's another discussion, right? Because the only way to really solve that is through more density, and not everybody wants density. You know, people in the neighborhoods aren't necessarily excited about it. But that's really how you can bring down the cost.
And that becomes a zoning issue, right?
That can, yeah. And Austin has attacked it from that angle. You know, you can put more density on a single family lot now, but then there are deed restrictions you have to work through. So it's a nuanced problem that doesn't have a single solution. But going back to 3D printed homes, it absolutely helps. And we need more innovation like it from multiple angles to really solve this issue.
What about interest rates? The direction of interest rates would appear to be headed lower. And if some suggest maybe by 100 basis points, one full percentage point over the next year, what does that do to the housing market?
Well, it initially causes more affordability because that same, call it, $500,000 house now costs less for the buyer. But as we've seen, the low interest rates generally cause the prices to go up. So long term, it doesn't really do much. And, you know, we've seen 2% interest rates and we've seen what that does to prices. You can't get much lower than 2%. So I don't think that's really the solution for affordability. For my business, it will be nice to see rates come down, but I don't think that it's a long term solution for affordability.
Are you beginning to see more inventory, not just affordable housing, but just inventory in general? Because this is one of the things I'd heard from real estate brokers say, you know, actually we have demand, we just don't have anything to sell.
No, there's plenty of inventory out there. And again, that's a nuanced discussion in its own. Austin has the highest inventory that we've had since the great financial crisis. And if you adjust for population, we actually have more inventory now than we did then. It's interesting because the success rate, meaning the percentage of sellers who ultimately sell the home that they list, is now 65%. And historically, it's 85%. So what happens are we have a lot of sellers that go on the market, but they won't meet the buyers where the buyers need to be because they're kind of stuck in the past with pricing. Because the mortgage rates are so low, they're locked into these rates from 2021, 2022. They convert them to rentals and they go on the market as a rental unit whenever they can't sell.
Which seems to drive us back where we started. Something it's, like 3D printed homes that comes along, you know, to sort of fill a gap. Are there multiple companies constructing 3D homes now in your area?
There are, but Icon is by far the leader of the pack. That's who we pay attention to the most.
And nobody else is following along in their stead?
That's a bit of a stump question. I follow them. I follow Icon pretty closely, and I don't follow really anybody else. They seem to be the market leader.
Exactly. It'll be fun to see the rest of the market follow them and maybe give us affordable housing.
Well, and if I could add one more thing too, you know, the 3D printed homes are interesting for infill construction. Where they really fill a gap is whenever you're in rural areas that don't have a lot of labor, that have labor shortages. So with 3D printed homes, you wheel in a printer and you got a couple of people working it versus, you know, a crew of framers, crew of roofers. It takes a lot of people to build houses. So whenever you're in a market with, not Texas, but say mountain towns in Colorado that have massive labor shortages and massive housing shortages, this is where this technology really shines. And there are markets in Texas that are like that. You go out to Marfa, West Texas, areas without a lot of population. Sure. It's really hard to get homes built there. And these are a solution for those markets.
And it sounded like we got a lot of people working on it to try to come up with some solutions. Eric Bramlett is the owner of Bramlett Partners in Austin. It's good to spend some time with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.